Amen. Amen. So I am excited today. We are continuing our Lenten series entitled The Shift. In this series, of course, The Shift is about using this time before Resurrection Sunday. Of course, we know that we are in Lent, the 40 days before Resurrection Sunday. And the shift, the idea of the shift is really that during this time, which of course we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, who for 40 days went to intentionally let God refine him in the wilderness. So in following in his footsteps in this holy time of year, as we prepare ourselves for Resurrection Sunday, we also allow God to refine us through this practice of Lent. Many people give up things for Lent. Many people add on practices. But it is a time for us to truly become more of who God is calling us to be. The idea of the shift is that we don't want this holy time of year just to be a time when we pick up one habit or drop one habit for a little bit and then let it go. But in recognition that God, as we've been saying all morning, truly desires to bring us to higher and higher heights. The shift is allowing God to transform us from the inside out in a way that's lasting. The shift recognizes that there's nothing terribly wrong with us, that we need to change. That's not that. No, it's rather that God desires to bring us to the next level. Same way in a car, there's nothing wrong with first gear, but sometimes God is trying to shift you to the next gear. And so we are engaging in this time, reflecting on how God desires to change us and transform us in a lasting and in a holy way. Last week we talked about shifting into the life of a worshiper and realizing that the faith that God has called us to is not a spirituality of perfection, but of devotion. And that God is not asking us to be perfect, but to worship and to give God the praise that God is due. Today I want to talk about shifting into wholeness. Allowing God to heal those places inside of us that may still need a little work from God. Allowing God to heal us, because many times we can't get to the next level until we go back and heal some of the places that have been broken in our spirits. So if you could attend with me to God's word, we are in the Gospel of Mark in the 5th chapter. A familiar but a powerful story whose riches are never done. We're in the 5th chapter. We're starting at the second half of the 24th verse, reading until the 34th verse. And it reads, "A large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years.
12 years.
She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. But she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, 'If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well.' Immediately her hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing in on you on all sides. How can you say, who touched me?' He looked all around, see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" You could return with me quickly to a powerful portion of this verse, beginning again in verse 24. "A large crowd followed him and pressed in on him, but there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, but she was no better, rather, she grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, 'If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well.'" Would you pray with me? God, we come to you in this holy season, indeed on this holy day, the day that you have set an appointment with us. God, we come to you needing a word from you. We recognize, God, in all humility, that you continue to work on each and every one of us, that we are works in progress, and that we are so glad and so fortunate, God, so blessed to be in the potter's hands. So now to this morning, we come to you in need of a word from you. in need of your holy speech and your powerful discourse, God, to speak into the hearts of what is true about our lives. Because, God, we know that with you, all things can be made new. We hear it. We're asking you to show it to us in our lives. God, we love you and we need you. We ask that you use this moment in all of its humanness and all of its imperfections, God, that you get anything about me out of the way so that your word might come forth. Because truly, God, your word can heal us. Your word can move away stones. Your word can push mountains out of the way. Your word can do its work. We've seen it do it before. So we're asking for that power now. It is in the mighty, the holy, and the powerful name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 Amen. 12 years, you may agree with me, is a long time. 12 years is a long time for anything to happen. If I were to say to you about some of those dreams that you harbor in your heart, and if you ask me how long until they come into fruition, and I were to say back to you 12 years, your spirit would fall in disappointment because 12 is a big number, and 12 years is a long time. If you were to say to me that that degree that you want, it's going to take you 12 years to complete it, I might look at you with disappointment in my eyes and even consider a different path because 12 is a big number and 12 years is a long time. If you and I were to walk together to the train station and to look up at the screen and look to see when the F train is coming and it said across the screen, the F train is coming in 12 years, we would say, well, that's about what I expected. Just kidding. Even for the F train, 12 years is a long time. So we can sympathize with this woman. Something in this woman calls out to us today. We understand her plight and we can understand the urgency with which she approaches the Lord because we know that 12 years is a long time to wait for something. 12 years is a long time to go through something. 12 years is a long time to live with something. We can understand why it was so urgent to her that she pushed through the crowd and that she ignored the rules. Of course, we know that at this time it was illegal for a woman to touch a man in public if they were not married. We can understand the desperation and why she pushed through even the decorum of her religion because we know that at this time, if a woman were bleeding, she was considered ritually unclean. And so for her to touch another person would cause them to be unclean, and it was a huge affront. We can understand why it meant so much to her that she longed for wholeness in such a way that she ignored decorum and she ignored regulations and she ignored the rules of her religion. She pushed through. We can understand because we know that 12 years is a long time to live with something. Mark is very artful in his use is telling of this story. Mark is artful because he knows that this story, again, is not just about this woman whose physical malady assaulted her for this many years, but Mark knew that it would speak to something in us. That many of us, not everybody, but many of us have walked through this life and thought that things would shed off of us by now, but we look around and we see that, man, it's been there for too long. Something in us can understand how this woman must have felt when she woke up every day in the morning and then the first thing to greet her was the memory of what went wrong for her and what had not yet been made all the way right. Before she would put her feet on the floor, she would be reminded every morning of this condition that changed so much about her life that was laced into every thought that passed through her brain. The condition would remind her before she put her feet to the floor, I'm still here. We can feel how she might feel. You know, and sometimes when we go through things, it's not so much the material reality of it, it's the longevity of it that so breaks our hearts. It's not so much the physical things that we have to deal with. That maybe we could deal with if it didn't last so long. But when we look back over the years and see that same ugly spot on the landscape of our lives, something about it can, if you think about it long enough, when you think about those things that you wish had gone so long ago, if you think about it long enough, it can bring you to tears. This is where the woman is today. She is heartbroken and she is upset, not so much because of the physical discomfort of what she was going through, but because of the longevity with which she had to deal with it. I was telling you that Mark is artful in his telling of the story. He uses the word rusis, the word rusis, which means issue of blood. An issue, of course, we know is not just, he uses this word because he knows it's not just about the physical issues, but man, many of us can say there's some issues in our lives. Some pain, some broken spots inside of us, some tears in the fabric of our spirits that we thought would leave us long ago, that have been there too long. Something in this woman in her 12 years of dealing with the same thing calls out to us through the millennium saying, this experience is not unique to a woman in Palestine. Many of us know what it is to wake up in the morning and the first thing that's on your mind before your feet hit the ground and reminding you, I'm still here. The longevity of some of the things we go through can break our hearts the way that it broke this woman's heart. You know, this might not be for everybody. Maybe some of you all are all put together and God is with you. Maybe for some of us, God has taken us to the place where God can drop us off and say, you are complete and whole and there's nothing left that I need to heal inside of you. Maybe for some of us, this does not resonate and we can't understand this woman and there's nothing about the 12 years that calls out to our spirits and say, this cannot be. It must go away. It's not designed to be this way. Maybe this isn't for everybody. But some of us know what it's like to live with something for too long. Maybe like her, it's one of the things that can be hidden. She could cover it up in layers of clothing and not everyone would have to know. But when she went home, she knew. Maybe like her, it's one of those things that even if it shouldn't, it can cause shame and can cause you to feel like maybe something is wrong with you and something is not correct with your person, because why would this continue to be your reality? Maybe like her, there's some shame involved in some of the issues that we can't seem to live beyond. Maybe like her, it's not the end of the world. It's not life-threatening. It's one of those things you can ignore. Kind of like a pile of papers on your desk that's been there for so long, unsorted through and unresolved. So long it just becomes a fixture of your office. And the longer it sits there, the more you get used to it. Some of us understand pain like that in our spirits, tears in the fabric of our spirits that have been there so long, we learn to work around them. They stay there unresolved, unworked through. We begin to imagine that they will just be our lot in life. You know, it's interesting. We talked last week about how the gospel writers tell these stories in different ways sometimes. And it's fascinating to look at this story, which is in all three gospels, to see where the gospel writer Matthew places it. This healing story, Matthew places it, he remembers it in a very interesting place. He remembers that it happened in the life of Jesus. He remembers that it happened after the Sermon on the Mount, which was instructions to everyone. And then after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells the story of Jesus talking to the disciples and giving them instructions to the few whose lives would be defined by this call. But in between the instructions to everyone, I need you to see this, in between the instructions to everyone, to the crowd, to those who would know Jesus' name but would not be dive into a life defined by his life. After the in between the instructions to everyone and the instructions to the few who were to be sent, who were to go to the next level, whose lives would be defined by this walk with Jesus. In between the instructions to everyone and the call to the few, there had to be this healing. It's as though Jesus knew, if I'm going to call you to the next level, it's as though Jesus knew if you're going to move from the crowd, from one who knows my name but doesn't know me, doesn't go with me, doesn't let his or her life be changed, and if I'm going to call you to what's next, if I'm going to send you out and to do the things that I've sent you to do, if I'm going to call you from the crowd, from those who come just every now and then to really walk with me, if I'm going to call you to the next level, I'm going to have to heal some things in you. This is certainly what happens with the woman today. You'll see in Mark's rendering of the story, this beautiful, it says that there is a crowd pressing in on him. But then there's a woman, so hungry for wholeness that she gets close enough to him to touch. There is a crowd pressing in, a crowd who might come once a week on a Sunday to call his name and to say something pretty about him. There's a crowd who might come to hear a sermon and to see what he is going to do. There is a crowd. We know there's a crowd. We know there's a crowd in our culture that might put a cross around their neck, may even have a few t-shirts with his name on it. There's always a crowd. But then there was a woman. Then there was a woman who was so hungry for wholeness, who was so willing to say, you know what, I am not done, who heard him when he said to everyone, healing is what God desires for you. There's more for you. She heard him, and she was so hungry for her own wholeness. There was a crowd, but then there was a woman who said, I'm going to push beyond this crowd. I'm going to get closer to him than everyone else. I'm going to get close enough to touch. We, many of us who have those tears in our spirits, who have been dealing with some things that have lasted too long, whether they're subtle, they're navigable. Many of us also long for, we understand why we long for this wholeness too. We have the same desire to be whole. We want it the way she wants it. But many times, our belief in our desire to be whole has been corroded. It's been broken down, and maybe we believed it at first, or when we flip through the pages of Scripture and we see the stories about Jesus helping people to get up who couldn't walk for the longest time, and Jesus casting things out of people that their parents and their community thought were going to be there forever, and Jesus breaking chains that people thought were just going to stay and to stay. When we read those stories, something in us says, yes, I want that too. But then when we close the Bible, many times we find that our belief in our capacity to be made whole has been corroded. Why? Sometimes, like this woman, it's just because it's been there for so long. Sometimes, like this woman, we can go back and count the years of how long something has been accompanying us. And because of those years, because of the way that it has been, when we look back, we see that it's been there so long, we just begin to assume that it will always be our lot in life. Sometimes, like her, maybe we've tried so many things. We've tried the podcast and the books. We've tried the church, and we've tried the friends to talk to. We've tried the famous people that we don't know to tell us how to live. We tried so many things, and so sometimes we can begin to feel like it's just like that pile of papers on our desk that will not be resolved, will not be gone through. We get used to it. Sometimes, like woman, our belief in our ability to be whole has been corroded by the time that we live with it, by the things that we have tried to get through it, and by looking back over our lives and seeing it's been there for so long, and then looking around at the world, seems like I look back over my life and I see broken spots. I look in the world. I see people with their own wounds that have not been able to heal. And I think, man, this just must be the way some things are. Maybe we are just unable to get through some things. We desire to be whole. We desire, when we feel these stories in Scripture speaking to us, they tell us that something could be different about us. But many times our belief in this change, this healing has been corroded by the years that we have lived with it. This woman had lived with her wounds for a long time. This woman had lived with the strains on her spirit and the issues of her soul and the pain that kept calling her name. She had lived with it for a long time. But something today was different. I'm sure that most days she also did not believe that it could truly be different from her, that her spirit could be knit with a different fabric, that life could be made up of something that it wasn't made up of before. I'm sure most days she did not believe, like many of us, that the things could truly be different because she had seen it be that way for so long. But something was different today. She had heard, it tells us, the Scripture tells us, she had heard the stories about Jesus. She had heard of him, and I imagine that she was in the crowd first, and so maybe as she was in the crowd, she heard him preach these words of revival, of change, of life being made new. She heard him say, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and that door will be open. Why? Because God desires to give good things to God's children. She heard him say that, and something in her said, maybe he means me. She had heard him say, I came so that you might have life, but not just have existence kind of life, but to have life that is abundant. And something in her, though she'd heard sermons before, something in her when this man spoke said, I believe for some reason that when he's saying that, he's talking about me. Something was different this day. I'm sure most days after 12 years, waking up with the same thing, she did not believe it could be different, but something in her was different today. She believed enough. She believed enough. Maybe not 100%, but a mustard seed of belief. Enough. Something shifted in her today. Something shifted that pushed her into the realm of believing enough, and it caused her to get into the presence that would ultimately heal her. I want to talk a little bit about the things that shifted in her today, because for those of us, this is not for everybody, for those of us who still have some tears in the fabric of our spirit and still need God to sew us back together in some places, for those of us, I believe that what God shifted in her today needs to shift in us too. And I want to talk a little about some the thing shifted in her spirit. The first thing that she learned today that shifted for her, that changed the course of her life, that changed, that was different about today. She learned not to disdain your desperation. Don't disdain your desperation. Sometimes in life we feel like the things that are still wrong with us, that are still places where God's healing touch is needed, they embarrass us. They cause us to feel like we're doing something wrong, that somehow God is happy with us, and they can even cause shame. And sometimes we get upset and we feel we wish that it weren't the case, that we had it all together. We wish our lives were more put together. We begin to disdain the parts of us that are still desperate. We begin to disdain the parts and to look down on the parts that are broken and to feel like there must be something so wrong with me if I am not happy all the time, if I still have some wounds that need to be taken care of, if there's still things that God is working on in me. We begin to disdain those parts and we rail against them. But don't disdain your desperation. Don't disdain those places in you that still need some work from the Holy. And we see that desperation today was what pushed this woman through. What pushed this woman through just being a part of the crowd, but pushed her into the presence that would heal her. We see that desperation today was the key to shift this day from a day like every other day and to get her into the presence that would be what took her to the next level, that would clean her from the things that were clogging her spirit and that would lift some burdens off of her. We see that desperation is what got her there. Desperation. Can you see this woman? Can you see her waking up one day and saying, I have lived with this too long. I heard him say that abundant life is for me too. And today is the day that this is going to be different. Can you see her in her desperation? She walks forward through the crowd. She walks forward through the rules. She pushes aside the things that are expected of her. And she does not care anymore. Why? Because she's desperate. Desperation is a good thing sometimes. Sometimes some of us are not desperate enough. And we are content just to call his name on a Sunday once a week. Oh, but if we knew how desperate we really should be, if we knew that wholeness was there for us, if we knew if we could call the name of the places that still needed to be healed, if we got a little desperate, maybe we'd be a little bit more like this woman. And we wouldn't just call his name once a week. We would press our way into the presence and we would chase him down. We would get close enough to touch. When you get close enough to touch, you experience his healing touch. You see that it's not, ooh. You see that it's not just pages on the scripture. You see, when you get close enough to touch, when you get desperate enough to say, that abundant life is for me too, I'm going into the presence. You see that the healing touch is not something that they wrote a story about a long time ago. You see that he still has power to heal. Some of us need to get a little bit more desperate. Because there's something so wrong with you, but because the life that God has for you will blow your mind. The wholeness. The abundant life. There's no asterisk on it. See the bottom of the page. Oh, not Kim. Not Pastor Julio. No, there's no asterisk on that abundant life. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And when we're hungry for that, ooh, we push through. Don't disdain your desperation. Don't disdain places in you that make you know, there's more I need from this life. I'm not done. There's more heat. Don't disdain that. Anybody who has touched rock bottom? Anybody who has met rock bottom, knows that rock bottom can be a beautiful canvas to paint the masterpiece of a life. Do not disdain desperation. God can use your desperate places as the forum to do the most incredible works in your life. This thing can be beautiful because of God and his power. We can't disdain our desperation. The other thing we see in her story today, something else that shifted in her that I don't know had shifted before. Another thing, after she gets so desperate, when she's hungering for this wholeness and she's deciding she's going to chase it no matter what happens. Another thing that we see, that she sees that will be needed. Have you ever noticed that in Jesus' presence, the truth is just always kind of drawn out of people? Have you ever noticed that it's really hard to lie in Jesus' presence? We saw it last week, two weeks ago with Nathaniel, that in Jesus' presence, he became so truthful and he told the whole truth. And Jesus said, in him, this is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. We see that with the woman who they were trying to stone for adultery, and they said, Jesus, don't you think we should stone her? And Jesus said, you know, I don't know about y'all, but if you have never sinned, maybe you should be the one to cast the first stone. And something in his presence made them tell the truth, and they said, you know what? That's not us. We're not without sin. There's something about Jesus' presence that causes the truth to come out. It's no different with this woman today. She gets into his presence. She thinks she's going just for a healing of the symptoms. You see that? She thinks she's going just to make the blood stop flowing, to make what's physically wrong with her stop. She thinks she's going just for the symptoms to be made better, and she presses into his presence, and she touches the hem of his garment, and she gets there, and when she gets there, ooh, he does not let her go just with the symptoms. Ooh, that's what we want sometimes, right? God, fix the exterior things. God, fix the symptoms of what's really broken inside of me. Fix the behaviors. Make the paycheck come and make my life look right on the outside. Make the logistics work. But we don't always want to get to the inside. Jesus says, I'm not going to let you go with the symptoms. I'm not, who touched me? I need to speak to her because there's some symptoms that have been healed, but I need to heal the whole woman. He says, who touched me? And she comes forward in fear and trembling. And Mark tells us she tells the whole truth. Whew, the truth. Do you see that? The truth always goes hand in hand with healing. Right? And Mark is careful here. He doesn't just say she tells the truth, a little bit of truth, like not lying type of truth. Like not texting them and saying you're 5 minutes away when really you just left your house. Not that type of truth. No, Mark says the whole truth. Mark is not one to use too many words. Every word is important to him when he tells these stories of lives that were changed by our Savior. Mark uses the word the whole truth because he's trying to tell us God does not just want to deal with your symptoms. God does not just want to make the bad things stop. God wants you to walk into a life that will amaze everyone around you, that will be so much higher and so much deeper and so much broader than what you thought. God wants to not just deal with what's happening on the outside. God wants to get to the truth of the matter, so you can be truly healed. A lot of times when we long for wholeness, we long to get rid of those things we long to heal from those things that have been hurting us for far too long. A lot of times we don't want to tell the whole truth. It's hard to look at some truths, but there is power in telling the truth. There is power in telling God and telling ourselves and looking at the wounds in our lives and saying, where did they come from? Where is God trying to take them now? What can be done with this? Some of the wounds that have been festering because they've been covered up in habits and in insecurities and in symptoms and other things. Some of the wounds that have been covered up because we just want to be put together and walk like we don't have problems. Some of those wounds that have been covered up for years can be uncovered, and God can begin to heal some things that you thought would always be your lot, like this woman. Why? Because the truth always goes hand in hand with healing. Memories lose their power when you look at them. Trauma can loosen its invisible grip on you when you look at it, when you tell the truth about it. Wounds can be healed. You know, that things are inherently scarier to us when they're in the dark. Things lose their power when you can see them and when you look at them for what they are. We know this from when we're kids. Things are terrifying when you're 4 and 5 and then you're in your room at night and you don't know what is there because you cannot see what's there. But we know the power of looking at things. Why? Because when we were 4 and 5, all we had to do was flip the switch and say, I'm going to look at you. And oh, I see those under that bed. There's no monster there. I see what's under there. It's just my pair of shoes. And there's something inherently that removes the fear when we look at things. There's something about truth telling. Jesus always pulls the truth out of people. For those of us who are still longing for wholeness in certain areas, for those of us who know what it feels like to say 12 years is too long to be dealing with the same thing. For those of us who long for wholeness when we read these stories, but then when we close the Bible, we go home to our lives and to our schedules and we look at the reality of the way our lives are. For those of us who long to be made whole, for those, sometimes Jesus is saying, I need you to tell some truth. Might not be overnight, but I'm here to talk about it with you. Truth-telling always goes hand-in-hand with holy healing. Ah, and so our heroine today, she gets desperate enough. She doesn't disdain her desperation. She decides to tell the whole truth finally after this thing that has been shaming her, this thing that no one would talk about. You know, we don't talk about these types of things now in 2019. Back then, they did not talk about these types of things, but Jesus is different. He said, I need you to tell me the whole truth about who you are. Why? Because you are daughter of the Most High and nothing about you is too shameful for me. Tell me what happened. Tell me who you are. Tell me the truth and I can heal you. She gets desperate enough. She tells the truth enough and she pushes through the presence. She pushes through the crowd. She pushes through the rules and she says, I know what they're going to think. I know I might get in trouble, but I know that this abundant life is for me. Can you see her in the crowd saying to herself, if I just touch his coat, if I just touch his coat, if I just touch, and she pushes and she pushes. She ignores everything else around. She pushes and she gets into the presence. And when she gets into the presence and she reaches out and she grabs the hem of his coat, something shifts in her and something happens and she's free from what had her bound. Why, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Why is it that she has to touch the hem of his garment? Why what was there for 12 years and she couldn't get rid of? Why finally when she touched the garment of Jesus, why did it go away then? Why, the skeptic in you might ask. I'm glad you asked. It's okay. Why? Huh? Why did she have to touch his coat? Why did she have to reach out and, ooh. Oh, why did she have to reach out and touch this man who represented, who told her about her abundant life? Why did she have to reach out and touch the hem of his? Why? Oh, this woman experienced wordlessly. This woman experienced wordlessly, just in the touch. She experienced wordlessly what millennia of Christian discourse and doctrine, what thousands of years of symbolism, of sermons and songs have been trying to say, this inexpressibly good news. She experienced wordlessly what we've just been trying to say all this time. She experienced the very good news that we do not have to do this on our own. This inexpressibly good news that we do not have to do this on our own, that you don't have to heal on your own, that the things that have been bothering you for 12 years, they're not only yours to fix. Some things have been on us for so long that we just cannot imagine getting free from them. We look back over our whole lives and we can't even remember a time when we were not assaulted by something, some demons that chase us, some wounds that still need to be tended to. Sometimes we look back and we say, I just don't even know how to ever get out from under this. Sometimes we look around and we see nobody else seems to be as whole as I would like to be, and everybody seems to have their pain. Maybe this is just my lot. Maybe this is just the way it's going to be. Some of these things seem so hard to get out from under. Oh, but there is inexpressible good news that we do not have to do this on our own. We don't have to do this. Yes, the things that assault us, that keep us down for 12 years, yes, they are hard to get from under. Yes, I know you get discouraged. Yes, I know maybe after all these years you have become convinced that this is just the way it's going to be, but it is such good news that we do not have to do this on our own. Why? We can't do it on our own. We can do it, but we can't do it on our own. Some religiosity will try to tell you that just be righteous enough. Just it's a way of life, and if you master it, then you get there and you can live well. That's religiosity. Self-help will tell you, which has become religion to many of us, self-help will tell you, oh, just try differently, try harder, try this other way, and then you can do it. You can heal. You can be made whole. You can live well. Oh. And those things are good, and they're true, and they're necessary, because we can do it, but we can't do it by ourselves. We can do it, but we can't do it by ourselves. By myself, on my own, I would be a complete mess. On my own, I would be a chaos of pain and problems. On my own, I would not be able to get through this life. The things that come at you on your own, you might not be able to handle them. I know some of us have been through some things that tried to knock us down. And if you were on your own, you would still be down. On our own, we cannot do these things. On my own, I cannot survive. But in relationship with the one who put all this together, in relationship with the power that is bigger, in relationship with a name above all, all names, in relationship with that one, we can do it. We can do it. We can't do it on our own. But it's such good news that we don't have to. This is what she learned today when she reached out and she touched the hem. She got close enough to touch. I'm inviting you. If you feel like you're a part of the crowd and you want to get close enough to touch, I'm telling you, those stories aren't just stories written in red in a book so long ago. No, I'm telling you, get close enough to touch. Get close enough to touch him and to see if his healing power is not for you too. To see if that abundant life did not have an asterisk with your name saying this one's excluded. Get close enough to touch and see if that healing power is for you too. This is what it means when it says the power went forth from him and into her. Whew. The power went forth from him and it became hers. And she said, I am different now. I'm not who I was. I don't know how it happened because I know on my own. I've been trying for years. Let me try something. I'm different. The power was not hers, but it came. Ooh! Was not hers, but it came out from him into her. Self-help will try and it'll help you, but it won't heal you. Ah, but if you reach out and touch the one who made you, ooh, called your name before you knew about that names existed, who knit you together in your mother's womb. You reach out and touch that one whose name is above everyone. Self-help might not, it can help you, but it won't heal you. But that one will put a power in you. You will look around and say, there is a power inside of me. Self-help can't do it, but it's in myself. Why? Oh, because he's with me. He walks with me and he talks with me. I want to tell you one last thing about this because I know some of us who can resonate with the 12 years, we get a little upset sometimes, confused rather, not upset, because the stories always say immediately. Immediately. And we think, well, guess there's an asterisk. It says if it didn't happen immediately, move on to a different religion. Just kidding. Right? We think if there must be an asterisk. If it didn't happen immediately, maybe it's not applying to me. Maybe I can't get there. I need to let you know. Mark is a storyteller. He needs to make everything dramatic and exciting. And so he says immediately, because he wants you to keep in the motion of the story with him. He's a storyteller. And when he says immediately, I need to let you to know, I want you to notice that he does not say everything was done immediately. The symptoms were gone immediately. Oh, he says immediately the blood stopped. But there's another part. There's another part that Jesus says to this woman after he calls her daughter. After he says, you are not your issue. You are not the thing that everyone defines you as. He looks her in their eyes and he says, immediately your issue's already stopped, but I have something I need to ask you to do. Whew. He says, go. Y'all see it in the last verse of this text. Go and be healed. He gives her a command. He invites her to keep working on it. I need to let you know if your healing is not immediate. If you work on something and then you take 3 steps forward and a half a step back, don't believe, don't let the enemy convince you that it's not legitimate. Just because it's not immediate doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because it's not immediate doesn't mean there's an asterisk excluding you. Just because it's not immediate, maybe Jesus is saying to you today, go and be healed. Go and continue to work on this. Go and keep healing because I am still with you. And the power that was back there, whew, that power is still, I'm telling you, that power is still here. 12 years is a long time. 12 is a very, very big number. A long time to suffer with something. Long time to wait for something. A long time to live with something. But in the scriptures, I need you to know that 12, not only was it a long time, but 12 was the number of God's power. 12 was the number of God's power acting decisively. Maybe you know that when 12, that when God and God's power crossed the Israelites out of Egypt and into Jordan, God asked them to leave 12 stones. Maybe you remember that when Jesus called his disciples and said, I need you to go act in my power and in my name cast out demons and in my authority cast out these unclean spirits. How many did he call? Come on, y'all. How many did he call? 12. 12 is a long time. 12 is a long time to live with someone. 12 is also the number of God's power acting decisively. I don't know how long you've been living with some things. I don't know how long healing has been your desire, but not your reality. I don't know how long you might have been longing for wholeness, but whatever that number might be, maybe it's also the number of God acting decisively in your life. Maybe it's also the number that of years that were necessary, but now they are behind. Maybe today can be not the day, the first day of year 13 of the same thing, but the first day of a new thing, because maybe that number is also God's number of acting power in your life and saying, my healing is for you too. The abundant life is for you, my daughter, for you, my son, for you, my child. Abundant life. No asterisk with your name. I meant you too. Stand with me to your feet if you could. God is inviting us today to the next level. If you are one of those ones that still need God's healing touch, let me put it like this, because that's hard for us to admit. If you're one of those ones who sees yourself in some place in this woman's story with the 12 years and the things that just should have been gone long ago, if you're one of those of us who still need God to help you shift some things, welcome to the family of works in progress. Welcome to the family of wounded healers who know what it is to walk through some things and for God to put you back together. Welcome to the family of faithful who have reached out and touched him and said his power still has power to heal and his hymn is still available to us. If that's you, God is asking us today to believe that this could be the first day, not of year 13, but the first day of a new thing where God can truly make us whole, 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 the way God designed us to be. So as we sing this song about the power in Jesus' name to break every chain, I want you to let that sink in, that your wholeness is God's desire. No matter how hidden the issues, no matter how long they've been there, no matter how subtle, no matter how dramatic, your wholeness, that abundant life, God's desire for you.